The Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The covenant-keeping God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. El Elyon, the Most High God. Creator of the heavens and the earth. For the heavens are your throne and the earth truly is your footstool. You have to humble yourself to behold the things that are upon the earth. We honor you. We worship you. We enter your word with reverence, fully aware of our limitations to deliver as well as to receive your infinite wisdom that has been compressed into human words. We pray that your Holy Spirit will come and help us by anointing me afresh so that I will speak as I should as an oracle of God. And putting the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everybody who will hear me. Those who are here physically, those who will hear me remotely, electronically. So that this word will flow freely, Father, from you, through me, to the people. To do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own. Causing our wills to become more humble. Our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge. Our emotions to be more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in more than sufficient measure through me to follow these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth, to heal, to deliver, to break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of what they hear, not hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery of the word, that indeed I will do it with precision, redeeming the time and speaking only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with that prayer, receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer, in their individual life, agreed with me and said, amen. Amen. This afternoon I have a short exhortation I want to share with us. And interestingly, I had prepared this before Pastor Conley's message, but it just dovetails with that, and it's like a follow-up on it, really. And like I say, it's an exhortation or an admonition. These are not things we don't know. They're things we've heard before. But I believe they are things that the Holy Spirit is emphasizing and amplifying to us because of the times in which we're living. Only God knows what the future holds. And consequently, He prepares us for what is coming by giving us the necessary spiritual nourishment, equipment, wisdom, knowledge, power, so that when whatever is coming comes, we'll be adequately ready and prepared to handle it. And I've entitled this Setting Your Heart Aright. I was reading my Bible in Psalm 78. Everybody turn there. Psalm 78. And we're looking at verse 8. Psalm 78, verse 8. Here, the psalmist, is a Psalm Asaph. Asaph, Jeduthun, and some of the singers were also, apart from David, it was David who set them up. Some of them wrote some of the psalms by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, just like David did. So, you know, the Psalms, not only David, it also has some of these guys. This one is particularly by Asaph. And in verse 78, he begins to speak about the history, some of the history of the children of Israel. And in particular, you know, he begins to, in verse 8, he says, that and might not be, I didn't hear you, as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright. And this jumped out to me. And God built a message, this exhortation out of this voice, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. If you move down to verse 37 of that same psalm, 770 is quite a long psalm. He says, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. Now, I want to speak about this in the context of the New Testament. This is true in the Old Testament. We know the story of the children of Israel, how God brought them out of captivity on eagle's wings. Mighty miracles. They've not been repeated since. I'm sure we'll see some of things like that in this end time before we close the age. You know, God did wonderful, mighty things. Turned water, turned the rivers to blood. You know, all kinds of, you know, things. And finally had to execute the first son of all the people in Israel, in Egypt. And finally, Pharaoh's pride was broken. And he finally released them. But interestingly and tragically, these same people who had seen these great, mighty miracles didn't set their heart aright with God. And time after time and after time, their hearts would deviate from God and his purposes. This happened in the wilderness, but it didn't stop them even after they entered the promised land. Many of them would run after idols and the gods of the land. The thing grieved God, because God felt, and correctly, as I do too, that he had done so much for them. He had proved himself to them so many times, that why would they do this? And it hurt him. And that's why this psalm reflects the God's heart and how he felt about it. And it is a admonition to the generations that are to come, so that we will not make the same mistakes that these guys made. I wrote in my notes here, as I was praying, you know, as I read the scripture, the Holy Spirit brought this out to me. He says, it is your responsibility to set your heart aright daily, because you have a free will. He said, they did not. It's not God who's going to set your heart for you. It's you who's going to set your heart. He said, they did not set their hearts aright with God. Interestingly, that's what Pastor Coley and Mommy were exhorting us on after the, you know, during and after Bible study today. You know, the heart, and we concluded with that. That's why I said this is like just kind of a continuation. You know, keep your heart with all diligence. The setting of your heart is your responsibility. And as I was meditating on this, a scripture came to me. Well, again, God gives us stories. It wasn't the particular scripture, though I know it's in the Bible. But it was a story that came to my heart. That's why you need to read your Bible, so your heart is full. And then God will be able to speak to you through those characters and stories that are inside the Bible. And you know what God said about Joshua and Caleb? This is the story. They came out of Israel. They came out of Egypt, excuse me. Cross the Red Sea. Then Moses said, look, you guys, he chose 12 guys out of the different tribes, you know, and said, go and spy the land and bring back a report. And they did. And they went and brought back of the fruit of the land and all of that. I said, wow, it's a wonderful place. Exactly like God said, a land that drinks of the rain of heaven, and it's great and all of that. He said, but 10 of them said, we can't go there. I know God said we will, but we can't. We are so small. If you see those people, the sons of Anak, they're 10 foot, 11 foot tall. Their walls are so high. There is no way we can take this land. Joshua and Caleb saw the same giants. They saw the same walls, but their response was completely different. And they said, the Bible tells that, you know, Caleb and Joshua, they hushed the people. They said, let us go up at once, for they are bread for us. But this was what God said, and this is how it connects with the message. He said, they had a different spirit. You know the difference? Joshua and Caleb all set their heart aright. The others didn't set their heart aright. What they saw was true. But isn't it amazing that they couldn't remember the God that split the Red Sea? They could not remember the God that killed the firstborn of Egypt. They could not remember the God that sent flies and all kinds of plagues and all the things he did. It wasn't something they were told, they experienced it. How come? And it's a great thing for us to think on. They couldn't remember because the heart was not set aright. Mommy said something earlier on. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Doubt comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the devil, if you like, you know, or the word of circumstances and experience. And if you're not listening to one, you're automatically listening to the other. So how come Joshua and Caleb could remember God's power and his faithfulness that took them out of Egypt, that took them through the Red Sea, you know, that provided water and all kinds of difficulties that they were having along the way on this journey? You know, they could remember that, and it was in the light of that that their response came. And the other 12, the other 10, and that's why it's never good to go with the majority. I don't believe in the majority. I believe in God's will. Hello, somebody. And most of the time, the majority is wrong. That's why it's dangerous to follow a crowd. And the same thing Mommy was talking about. That's why I don't... It's not as if I don't like testimonies. I don't encourage that, because faith doesn't come by hearing testimonies. Not all the time. We do testimonies, you know. But it comes by hearing the Word of God. Because by following somebody's testimony, you don't know all things in their background. You don't know what God did. You just try and follow it, you know. You fall in something. So you need to... These people couldn't align their hearts. They didn't say their hearts are right. So they couldn't remember. They couldn't... That was not the first thing that came to their mind. What was uppermost in their mind was all they could see at that time. The sons of Anak, the high walls, and all the opposition. They couldn't see a God that was bigger than those things. Because, I'm going to keep saying it, they did not set. Everybody say set. 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 Set their hearts aright. Now, what do we... Let's get down to the nitty-gritty. What do we really mean? You know, when we say words, we just say words religiously without, you know, really getting to the precision of what the word really means. What did we mean by setting our hearts aright? I'll tell you. It just means setting your will. See, your heart... The word heart is a composite term. It includes spirit and soul. Many times the Bible says your heart, your inner man. Then when it really talks about your soul, is your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's all those three comprise what the Bible calls your soul, which the New Testament, Old Testament, many times will call your heart. Say, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy, you know, it repeats those things. But in particular with precision, we're talking about your will. You set your will aright. It is something you do, not God. Now, God will help you when you do it, but the decision to do it, the action of doing it, is your responsibility. When God sees decision, then He adds His mercy and grace and power to back it. But the decision, God is not going to force your will. Otherwise, you are no longer a free moral agent. And that's why He says, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a gen that set not their heart. They didn't do it. But we know that it could have been done because Joshua and Caleb did. That's why God brought that story to my mind. Joshua and Caleb, they set their heart aright. And this is how God said, He said they had a different spirit. Different spirit doesn't mean they were all sinners. Different spirit just means they had a different attitude. They had set their will in a different way from the others. So even though they saw the same giants and the same walls, the way they set their will, you know, caused them to see God superimposed upon those conditions and know that they could be victorious. Are you listening to me? You find this issue of setting the will, you find it in two other scriptures I want to highlight. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 11. This is negative, but the principle is there. This is it again. He says, because I didn't hear you. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed. What? I just got a text, a tweet. I don't want to lose my tweet, but I still want to say what I want to say before I'll come back to it. I won't forget. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is what? Fully set. So there is set and then there is fully set. When something is fully set, that means it becomes fixed there. It becomes fixed in that something and they don't change. Now, the tweet I got was this. I'm going to come back to the fully set in a minute. Was this. As I was just teaching now, the Holy Spirit just brought me that tweet. He said, why isn't judgment against an evil work speedily executed? Why? Because of God's mercy. Because of God's mercy. If God was to execute judgment speedily, none of us would survive. God doesn't execute judgment speedily at first. I'm going to add the word at first. Are you listening to me? For each individual, depends, you know, the different people have different histories with God. You know, when God knows, you know, you haven't had much experience, and you haven't had much interaction with Him, and you do something wrong, He's going to execute judgment, but not speedily, because He will give you space. That's God's nature. He's not willing that any should perish. So He gives you space to repent. He said of that woman who was teaching in one of the churches in the book of Revelation, I think Laodicea, I can't remember, one of them anyway, you know, he says, she's teaching my servants to commit fornication and to eat things that are sacrificed to idols. He says, I gave her space to repent, and they have not repented. Now, you know what God did? Give them more space. He says, and I will kill her children with death, so that all the earth, all the churches will know that I am the one who judges the reins and the hearts, except they repent. So give them another space. That's God's nature. God is not a fool, but He gives space. So when God gives space, you know what people think? They think two things. Either there is no God, which is foolishness, or God won't do anything about it. So their hearts become fully set. I've seen that in these last 30 years of ministry in Nigeria, and not only in Nigeria, you know, the church in America, because at least those two, three places I've preached in, you know, America, England, and here, you know, I've seen that, especially with this perverted prosperity message and all the things that, the negative things that go along with it, you know, because a lot of judgment hasn't come. Do you understand? People, it's okay. So their hearts are now fully set in doing those things. It's one of the biggest mistakes they've made in their lives. You know why? The Lord whom you seek is suddenly going to come to his temple. And when he comes, then it will be speedily executed. You know why? He's already given the space. That's why I said, at first. Let me give another example, which comes readily to my mind by the Holy Spirit. Look at Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was a very proud and vengeful and irritable man, you know. Anything, once he got angry, he did things without thinking. God, kill all the wise men, you know, throw them in the fire, and all of that. But you know, God didn't kill him immediately. He didn't execute judgment speedily. Then when God was going to execute judgment, he now sent Daniel to him, gave him a dream, and sent Daniel to interpret the dream. Then gave him another 12 months. That's God. You know why? God knew that deep inside Nebuchadnezzar's heart, there was still a chance for repentance. So God was going to give that space. And it worked. God cut, symbolizing him as a tree, he cut the tree, but left a stump inside the ground. And it worked. After 12 months of terrible judgment, you know, after 12 months, God, you know, his reason went from him. He was in the forest for 7 years. He came back and he said, I now know, wish he had known 7 years earlier, that the Most High rules in the affairs of men, you know. But not so with Belteshazzar. Belteshazzar was Nebuchadnezzar's grandson. And Belteshazzar knew everything that happened to his grandfather. The history was there. Everybody was talking about it in the palace from generation to generation. Ah, this is what happened to your father. Nobody must go against the God of Israel. Even your father said, you know, before he died, that, you know, there is no other God that is like this, that, you know, he rules in the affairs of men. It was common knowledge. This silly boy. With all that background, with all that knowledge, of all the places you can go and get cups to drink wine, Babylon was full of gold, and they had plundered many nations. There's so many places you can get gold, you can drink wine. It was the one inside the temple. A complete disrespect and dishonor for God after what he knew happened to his grandfather. That one, the judgment was executed speedily because of the background. So we need to understand all of that. So setting your heart aright means setting your will aright. And don't think because judgment is not executed speedily, it means that God approves or is allowing those things or he likes them. He doesn't. He's just giving you space to be able to repent and to change, because he does not take pleasure in the death or in the destruction of any man. Move forward to Psalm 16, verse 8. Psalm 16, this is a psalm of David now. Now, this is what David did. Now, this is the real crux of this message I want to pass across to us as New Testament Davidic Christians. When I say Davidic, because we have a spiritual connection with David in the New Testament. We are through Jesus, you know, we are connected to David. God started a spiritual dynasty. First of all, it was physical, but God knew the physical wouldn't work, you know, but he did it anyway, just to honor David. And there was Solomon, and then after him, you know, his sons, and within a few generations, most of them had gone off course. But so that was why it was a spiritual dynasty that God was going to establish through David, through which the Lord Jesus Christ would come. So we are the sons of David, you know, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and the sons of Abraham. So now look at what David did. He said, I didn't hear you, have set the Lord, sometimes, occasionally, when I'm feeling under strong conviction, before me. Who did it? I did it. That's what those people in the wilderness didn't do. This is what Joshua and Caleb did. This is what David did. You can now understand this scripture better. I have found in David the son of Jesse a man after my own heart. What did it? David exercised his heart. He said, always. This was something he did from when he was a young boy. He set his heart always aright with God. He set his will such that he was constantly, his heart was constantly in tune with God. And you know what happened? That was why his heart was so much in tune with God that when he had the opportunity to kill Saul and he cut off his skirt, his heart smote him. Because the heart was already aligned with the will of God. So anything that was outside the will of God, the heart would reject it. I'm talking about the will now. The mind, the emotions. Immediately his heart, oh, no, you can't do this. He said, how can I, God forbid I should do this to my master. Even though Saul was no longer his master and Saul had, lost all such rights because of the way he had behaved in terms of, you know, trying to kill David, even trying to kill his own son Jonathan and all of that. But, you know, God, he had set. And the trick, it's not a trick, the principle here is always. Ever say always. Now, I'm going to, before we finish the message in a few minutes, I'm going to show you how to do that always. See, I've become very, very much more careful when I read the Bible. And like we said earlier on today, we want to reject the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully. When I see always, I want to find out what it means. Hello? I don't just skip it and say, oh well, you know, that just means once in a while or every week when I come to church. Always is always. And I'm going to show you how to do that in a few minutes' time. I have set the Lord always before me. Now, before I leave that, I want to use a natural illustration, which I have used in the past, but it's a beautiful one because it makes it very clear. It makes it very, very clear. I discovered that, you know, that's what God did with the centurion. That's what God did with the Syrophoenician woman. He would, some natural illustration will so clearly define, describe a spiritual truth. Now, once you get it, just as great is your faith. Now, whenever you think about setting your will, always think of a satellite dish. I've used this illustration before. You see, that satellite dish, there are satellites that are inside, you know, in the above the Earth's atmosphere, and we call them geostationary satellites. What that means is that when they fire them up to space, they are moving with the same circular speed that the Earth is rotating with. So, because the Earth is rotating and the satellite too is rotating, the satellite, you know, stays over the same place on the Earth all the time. Is this clear? We call them geostationary. That is, they are stationary geographically over the same place of the Earth because they're moving. The orbit is, you can calculate the physics and all of that. You can calculate, you know, so that it's moving with the same rotation as the rotation of the Earth. So you find geostationary satellites all over. So you're living in Ibadan. You want to watch CNN through your DSTV. Your satellite engineer, he comes to your house. He sets the satellite up on the roof or by a window or something. You will see that they have to move it. They have some instrument that they can use to know that it is pointing directly at that satellite that is above that geostationary satellite that is above your position in the Earth, such that you can receive direct signal from the satellite. They will test it, they will find out the signal level and all of that and make sure that everything's working. Then you can see the thing clearly. Then suddenly there is a storm. There's rain. And there's a storm. And when it's stormy, the satellite dish just moves a little bit. It may just be a few centimeters. Not a big thing. Just small. Then you go downstairs, you put the television on, and you are getting the signal, but it has all kinds of interference. The thing is not clear. Then you turn, you press the button, you do everything, then you have to call the engineer. And you say, what's wrong with my satellite? You say, no, God, there's nothing wrong. We'll come and reset it. So the engineer comes, he needs an instrument. That's his job. So he comes and he checks that the satellites are aligned, then he just moves it back to the correct position. Then he takes his screwdriver and whatever, you know, and screws it and makes sure that it is stable. Then all of a sudden, you start seeing the TV again. Something like maybe this for the satellite dish, not for you. You know, once every 3 months or 6 months, they have to come like that. You know why? Because with wear and tear, over time, because the dish is exposed to the elements. There is rain, there is sunshine. You know, for those of us who know a little bit of physics, don't even have no physics, you know, this is just the truth. You know, things expand and they contract. During the summer, the thing will expand. During the winter, if you're living in England or even here, you know, when the temperature goes down, the thing will contract. That will, over time, change the orientation of the dish. So you need the engineer to come on a quasi-regular basis, you know, to come and check that thing to make sure that it stays aligned. That's your heart. Let's now move to the spirit. That's the physical. The spiritual, your heart is like a satellite dish. Your mind is the television. Your will is the antenna. Are you listening to me? And what you feel like, what you see when you're enjoying the television on that, those are your emotions. Hello, somebody. Are you listening to me? Now, you know what happens? Just like that satellite dish, you go through the storms of life. You come to church, now you hear a fine message. The thing fires you up. Like Pastor Kunle and Mommy's message this morning. Hey, praise the Lord. We all prayed. We put the screws down and, you know, then we go out. You get out of the door there. You know, the first thing is one downfall driver just comes in front of your car. Bass! That's the first expansion. And you move down the road, you know. Then your wife says something she shouldn't say. Another expansion. You know, and then somebody phones you and something happens. Before, during the vagaries of the day, so many things have happened. The thing that was set before has shifted. That's the reality. Unlike the satellite dish, which is once in a while, you have to set daily. Hence, David said, I have set my will always. We go through two, there are too many vicissitudes of life. The prince of the power of the air. All kinds of storms and things that come. So sometimes you find your heart has shifted, you don't even know. But what you are receiving in your signal is getting distorted. So you start feeling bad. And your emotions get out of whack. Then you're not hearing God properly anymore like you used to. Hello, somebody. Am I talking to anybody here? Huh? So you have to set that thing. You know what? You set it at the beginning of every day when you go and pray. When you get to God, that's why you confess your sins, then you repent of things, attitudes that may be wrong and all of that. You set it. Then once every 6 hours. And this is where, you know what he said in that Psalm 78? I didn't read that part deliberately. I left it to the end. He said, and their heart was not steadfast in his covenant. Now, in the New Testament, the Bible says, and this is the covenant that I will make with them after this. I will write my laws upon their heart. What is the law in the New Testament? Love and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So it's something you need to keep reinforcing and write upon your heart. Hence, the scripture says, this book of the law will not depart out of your mouth. Deuteronomy 6:7 says, you will talk of them when you are sitting down. You will talk of them when you lie on your bed. You will talk of them, you know, when you are walking by the way. There are four of them anyway. That's where we got one every 6 hours from. And I was looking at one of the things I wrote recently. You know, I wrote them a long time ago, but I was looking at it recently. You know, at once every 6 hours. Everybody say once every 6 hours. Then at every opportunity, then in every temptation, is sequential. If you keep the once every 6 hours, you will remember to do it at every opportunity. You do it at every opportunity because the Holy Spirit knows what's coming. By the time temptation comes, you're ready. Everything is set. Hence, you get always. That's how you get always. Once every 6 hours, at every opportunity, in every temptation. When temptation comes, the first thing that comes is, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I will not sin against thee. The first thing that will come up, instead of your emotion, instead of your feelings, instead of, you know, the natural thing, is breathe the word of God. Because the heart is set aright. You got to set your heart aright. God will help you to do it, but God will not do it for you. I'm going to repeat that. God will help you when you start doing it, but God is not the one who's going to help you to do it. He's not the one who's going to do it for you, excuse me. He will help you. So you go, you set every day. You confess your sins. Don't just do it mechanically, just it has to be from the heart. Then you set that will aright. I set my will. I determine. You know, I set that will. Then, in Jesus' name I have life. You pray in the Spirit. You know, the heart is set. Then you go into the vicissitudes of each day. Within a few hours, some things have gone wrong. I can't help that. Because of this atmosphere in which we live. Are you listening to me? So after 6 hours, you reset. Then you reset again. And then you reset again. You know what's going to happen? Your heart will stay constant. It's not as if you won't have problems. Now, to close, going back to Joshua and Caleb. Didn't Joshua and Caleb go through the same temptations? Hello? They went through exactly the same temptations. When there was no water, was there water for Joshua and Caleb? Hello, somebody? When they got to the Red Sea and they saw the Egyptians coming, didn't Joshua and Caleb see the Egyptians coming? Hello, somebody? Are you listening to me? There was no problem that the other 10 guys went through that Joshua and Caleb did not also go through. But what was the difference? You know what Joshua and Caleb did? They did what Moses said. It's very important to understand that the Deuteronomy instructions were given, you know, during the wilderness when Moses was telling them. So it wasn't just to Joshua and Caleb, it was to the whole of Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy will, and with all thy mind, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And these words which I tell you will not depart from your mouth, and you will talk of them when you sit down, you will talk of them when you lie down, you will talk of them when you wake up, you will talk of them when you are by the way. He gave them the same. You know the difference? The other 10, they did not hold fast to the instruction. Joshua and Caleb held fast to that instruction. So even though their hearts went through the same expansions and contractions, even though their hearts too moved here and there, because they kept setting that thing back by the word of God, when the time came and they saw the sons of Anak, the thing that came up in their heart was God. The other guys forgot. He says here in Psalm 17, he says, they did not remember. And how many times are going to close? Has that happened to us? When you're in a temptation, you don't even remember what God did. You're so focused on the problem. How terrible the person said this to you, and how terrible this situation is, and how this can never happen, and this money, how can it ever come, and all that. And you forgot just last week. Hello, am I talking to anybody here? Just last week, the same God delivered you. But when you are facing that problem, you're only focused on the problem. Learn to do something. I got to close. Whenever you are faced, don't let the problem, don't look at the sons of Anak. Don't look at the high walls. Amen. Lift up your eyes to the hills from whence cometh your help. And then begin, he said, this is my infirmity. I will remember the works of the Most High and the things that he has done for me. Then you begin to say, this one is going to be bread for me. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. 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 The God you serve is bigger than your problem. But your hearts need to be set aright. So what you are seeing in the television of your mind, he said, where we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen can be changed, but the things which are not seen are eternal. They cannot be changed. They will always be there to change what you can see. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible makes so much sense. When all these things are in place, you can now understand, if God is for us, who can be against us? That's a man who is always seeing God. Hallelujah. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall death or life or tribulation or anguish or famine or what? What? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Through Christ that loves us. Am I talking to anybody here? Hallelujah. That is works for the man whose heart has been set aright. He will always see God above the problem. When you are not seeing God above the problem, your heart has shifted. Remember the satellite dish. It doesn't mean you have a bad heart. The heart is working. Do you understand? It just means that the pressures of life have caused you to shift from your satellite. So you're not seeing what you should be seeing. So you need to set it back. And it's a constant exercise. He says, I have set the Lord always. I didn't write the scripture, folks. I like my father David. I set my heart. I set the Lord always before me. It means my satellite dish is always in tune. So I'm seeing God. I'm seeing God. Now, of course, he wasn't seeing God with his two eyes. It wasn't physical. He was seeing God in his heart. Are you listening? I have set the Lord always before me. He is at my right hand. Now, how many people know that you can't see anything at my right hand? Physical. But the presence of the Holy Spirit is at my right hand. I have set the Lord always because he's at my right hand. I do that by faith. I set my heart always. So when the lion comes, you're bigger than the Lord. The Lord is bigger than you. When the bear comes, the Lord is bigger than you. He said, when Goliath comes, thank you. You know, the Lord is bigger than you. Because I have set the Lord always. Set the Lord always. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. Talk to God. Set the Lord always. Set your heart aright. It's not a one-time thing. It's an always thing. Once every 6 hours, at every opportunity, and then in every temptation, you'll be ready. Take my life and let it be. Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. A moment. Take my moment and my death. Let them flow. Hallelujah. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. We're setting that will. But like I explained, you're not just going to do it now. It's something you're going to keep doing. David said, I have set my light always. I've set the Lord always before me. The word always there is the functional, like Pastor Kunle was saying during the message this morning, a working revelation. It's the practice. As you practice, you will find that, yes, your heart can stray, but you quickly bring it back. You will go through different trials and temptations. The Bible says Jesus was tempted in every way like as we are. Look at Gethsemane. The pressure moved the thing and Jesus moved it back. The Holy Spirit helped him. He moved it. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. It moved like that. He said, nevertheless, not I will, but as I will. That's in temptation. But because he had prayed before that time, when the final thing came, he was able to move it back. And an angel from heaven appeared, strengthening him. The Bible says, even Jesus was tempted in every way like as we are. Let's understand these things. set your heart aright with God. Raise that hand. Touch your heart. These are just symbolic of reaching out to God for help in heaven. And your heart just means, you know, sincerity and honesty and humility. Just, you know, and being honest. Just touch your heart. It's just a symbolic thing. But mean it. Don't go past the physical symbolisms and mean it. Say, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that has come to me this afternoon, reminding me of the necessity of daily setting my heart aright, so that I will set you always before me, that I will always see you, your mercy, your grace, your omnipotence above any temptation, any trial, any difficulty that I may be facing at that present time. Oh God, help me. Help me to be faithful to set this will aright constantly, so I always see you above the problem. Like Joshua and Caleb, I will have a different spirit, a different heart attitude that will cause me to inherit the promised land of the perfection and the fullness of Christ. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, have mercy on me. Help me, help me, help me. You said in your word that your word is not in heaven, that we should go up and go and get it. It is not across the sea. You said it is nigh me, in my mouth and in my heart, that I can do it. God, help me to set my heart aright in Jesus' name. Nekatoloma shoko klomata. Zefrikitoloma shakito fredes. Leprikitofriningito fredengask. Lupria shokoro. Lambrikatoloma toloma toloma stufridis. Lambrikitoloma shala. Lambrikamatoloma tufridufreshe. Zafrega glomatoloma toloma toloma tufridufreshe. Nanga glomatoloma toloma tolus. Sefre, Zofria, Lambrikatoloma kakum, Toloma Toloma Ngaka Globatulum, Lambrikatu Fres, Ziki Tufri, Zofrenella, Lambrikatoloma Toloma Tufredo Fres, Zifri, Yokoro, Zofredeles, Zofridi Yokoro Nangar, Lambrikatolos, Jelika, Rikatu Frene, Lambrikatoloma Toloma Shakatu Fredo Freshe. Lambrikatolomatoloma gromatoloma shofre, Zofria gromatolo, Lambakamatoka, Jike, Tofrega gromatoloma zefri, no frenes, no fridis, Jike to frenes, Nangaro gromatoros, Jike to frenes, Zofridis, Lamberdeles, Sofridis, Tofrenongos, Tolomaras, Jike to fri, Nongara sofre, Zofridis, Toloma shaga, to frenes. In Jesus' name. Now we're going to pray for our healing and for our miracles. Just touch your body. Raise the other hand to God. Again, these things are symbolic. But when you do it in faith, it's a point of contact. Just means you're allowing God through that hand to make contact with your physical body, so the power of God, the healing power of God, can flow. And you need a miracle in whatever area of your life. It could be financial. It could be emotional, it could be in the home, whatever. You see, God loves us. He says, the Father knows you have need of these things. He loves us and He wants to help us. And He will encourage us. He will give us, do things for us. And as He does those things, the Bible says the goodness of God leads us to repentance. And that's something that's not often preached or mentioned when people pray for miracles and material things. But God spoke to me and said, tell them I love them. I want to help them. And I will help you. I'm not going to help you as a condition. I'm not going to say you are, you know, even condition, without a condition, I'll still help you. But when I do help you, not before, but after the fact, after I have helped you, reciprocate. Reciprocate with your heart. My goodness is to lead you to repentance. Even before you knew me, before you were born again, I was already doing miracles in your life. I was already protecting you. I was already girding you. I was already helping you. Now much more will I do. Now you are my child. Raise your hand. God has just spoken to you. Loves you. He said, if I helped you before you got born again, will I help you any less now? No, I'll help you more. Now, ask God for what you want. Ask God for what you want. Good. Including your healing. This healing, you see, it's not because you're sick. You don't have to be sick to ask for healing. We're asking for health now. So even if you're not sick, you still need that healing power in your body. God taught us this some about a year or two ago. That there are things that are going on inside the internal organs that you don't even know. And many times we wait and then after 6 months go to the doctor and then we now see. But we're now dealing with it before the thing comes up. Hello, somebody. Now raise that hand. Say, Father, I confess our sins. I'm so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness, blocking my right standing with God, so that your life can flow freely, maximally into my spirit, and from my spirit as I pray through my mind into my body and into my circumstances to bring healing, to wrought miracles in my life. I say that by the stripes of Jesus and his resurrection life and power, I am healed and I live in divine health. I release resurrection, healing, life and power into my body now, from the top of my head into the soles of my feet, to my heart, my kidney, my liver, all my vital internal organs, all of my blood vessels, into the DNA of every cell in my body to operate error-free, into my immune system to function error-free, in the name of Jesus. I keep the laws of hygiene and natural medicine. I obey the doctors. I take my medicine. The laws of diet. I eat the right food. The laws of physical exercise and rest, in Jesus' name. Amen.